Prepare to hear your own voice.
What do I sound? Oh my! This is what I sound like.
Do you not like the way you sound?
I sound really nasally.
This is some movie magic.
We actually got to crack our beers.
Oh time. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
That's like a thing we got to do.
All right, ready? 3, 2, 1.
Ooh, nice. Almost that's synced good. Up. That's how That's how I sync the.
That's your clap. Clap. Yeah.
Clap.
Nice.
Doug Jambor?
Yeah, that is I.
Welcome to the Dead Sailor Podcast. Doug, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I might need to take my jacket off.
Yeah, it's warm in here. According to your thing, it's 69 degrees. It's pretty sweet.
I haven't set that temperature, not on purpose. Maybe I do.
Maybe you do, yeah.
Yeah, so Doug, for the people who don't know... For the people who don't know who you are, who are you, Doug?
I am Doug.
You got to remember to talk in the microphone.
I am Doug. Oh, my God. I'm Doug, and I make videos in the mountain bike and ski industry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've worked with some big names like Blake Hansen.
Blake Hansen.
You shot Blake's Deep Summer.
Dirt Diaries.
Dirt Diaries.
Dirt Diaries.
Video.
Yep. That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Very Wes Anderson. We'll definitely get into that one.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot to unpack with that one.
Yeah.
Not like in a bad way, but it was just a lot of fun. So, yeah.
And then you made that, you shot that incredible ski movie that came out last year with Micah.
Micah Evangelista, yeah. Born. And yeah, that was... sorry.
Talk
yeah.
into that.
I keep getting far away. that was a big undertaking, and... I didn't make a penny off it, but that was like probably one of my favorite projects that I've ever worked on just because it was like a passion project. It was something that I wanted to do. And I feel like that's kind of what made it so special. You know, it's just mm-hmm. like, it wasn't work. It was just like, I just really wanted to do it. So,
yeah. And that was filmed mostly in Washington. Right?
That was all filmed. Mount Baker, and the surrounding backcountry. So, all human powered, no sleds, no snowmobiles.
Oh yeah, love that.
And it was 2 years in the making. It was like, it was going to be a 1 year project, and then COVID happened, kind of shut down the ski area early. And we were like, we could go up there, and it was still at that, you know, weird time. Everyone was washing their groceries and we weren't really sure what was going on.
It's a lot of time.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like the sense of time is wild now, but we were like, you know, it's probably... I mean, if we get hurt, we just like, we don't want to like clog up the hospitals or, whatever it was at the time. So we were like, let's just do a full another year. And I'm really glad we did. Cause we got a lot of good stuff in that second year. So
yeah. The snow got real good.
Snow got good.
Couple years, yeah.
There was a lot of days where the snow was not good. I think I don't know how much footage I have total of that didn't make it in that video. So, there was a lot of days where we'd go and walk and just have to turn around because it was flat light or the snow was bad or whatever it was. So
that is something that I actually think is, I don't know. I'm really glad that mountain biking is not that.
Yeah. You just drive to the spot. Yeah.
Could you imagine if you were, I'm sure it happens a lot when you're like dead set on the lighting or something like that. You're like, it needs to be golden hour.
Yeah.
Like we need to have like light rays coming through the mountains at this shot, you know, but I think that, one thing that I'm grateful for with mountain bike content production is mm-hmm. just the ability to be able to adapt to any scenario and get some nugs.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
Like
definitely
on a bad, if you're making a powder video mm-hmm. and you're like, all right, the snow looks good. And then you get up there and it's raining.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just go home.
You just go home. Yeah. Cause I mean, we built a lot of snow caves too. That was another thing. It's just like, it's raining. Let's just build a snow cave and maybe it'll turn to snow. Who knows?
Yeah.
So yeah, we almost called the movie Skunked cause we just got skunked a lot, but that's kind of like a running joke with us. So
yeah. Yeah. Other than that, you worked with Kurt Voorhees for a while.
Yep. That there's actually a story behind my meeting of Kurt Voorhees, and actually
we got to hear it.
Yeah. Kurt actually helped start my career.
Perfect, this is the perfect, platform for stories like
this. This is it. I owe my career to Kurt Voorhees, which is pretty cool.
You're sitting here right now because of Kurt Voorhees.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Kurt, wherever you are. So yeah, grew up in Washington. I'm just going to go back because there's backstory here.
Let's dig in.
Yeah, let's get into it, into the Schmeets. Mm-hmm. I'm from Washington, born in Woodinville, and then moved to Shoreline when I was like in high school. And me and my buddies were always making like little ski videos, like go up to Snoqualmie and just take a camera and pass it around and make a little park video.
How old are you at this point?
This was, let's see, freshman, sophomore year of high school.
Nice.
So yeah, 16, 15, 16, whatever age we were at that time. So yeah, we were always just, you know, making little edits, stuff like that. So it was always something that we were doing. It was always something that I was interested in. My good buddy, who I would ski with, he made a ski movie as his senior project. So it was like something that we all were kind of involved in and stuff. So it all kind of started with just like ski videos. And then, I moved up to Bellingham, in 2009. I graduated high school in 2008, moved up here mostly for skiing. Also, all my friends were up here and I was like, yeah, Mount Baker snows a lot. So,
When you were down in, you rode Snoqualmie Pass. Is that what
you're mostly Snoqualmie? Yeah. I was instructing. We did like an after school instruction program, at this place called Mini Mountain, which, it was like, I was teaching little kids, at night, and then we get a free pass. So, mostly Snoqualmie. Moved to Bellingham. We kept filming more ski videos, stuff like that. I took a video production class at Whatcom Community College, which was like, seemed like stuff I already kind of knew at the time. Mm-hmm. And then some years passed, just kind of still doing that stuff. And like, I'd always wanted to get into it, but I just didn't know how to make that my job. You know, I didn't know anybody. I didn't have any connections. I just would like to make videos. I want to make videos somehow. So, what year was that? That was 2014. Moved to Bend. No, 2015.
Did you start mountain biking within that time?
Oh yeah.
In Bellingham?
Yeah. So to go back, I grew up racing BMX as a kid.
Nice. No problem.
Yeah. Did some BMX, and then me and my friends were always like building, you know, shitty little jumps in the neighborhood, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, my grandparents lived in SoCal. I would go down and race BMX in the summer with them because my mom would send my sister and I there. So was doing that, started mountain biking. I think I got a mountain bike in 2014. Just like cheap, like GT. It was a GT Sanction. And I had like,
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. It was, I think it was like a 2008 Sanction or something like that. It had like a 180 travel fork on it. That was totally blown.
Oh yeah.
It was just
Big bike.
Yeah. It was a big bike.
Is it a full suspension bike?
It was a full suspension. Nice. Yeah. 26 inch wheels. And then it had like a tiny little shock on it. It was probably like 130 millimeters of travel. So it was just like the super wacky.
Wow.
It was a super wacky bike.
Yeah.
So that's what I was riding around in Bellingham. And then, yeah, moved to Bend, super bummed because I was leaving all these wonderful trails that we had here.
And so, that was with what brought you to Bend again?
I followed a woman there, and spent some time. It was like 2 years there total. I feel like I'm like running through this story really, really fast, but
it's all good. We can dig into any part.
Yeah.
At any point we can come back.
Yeah. And this is all just to get to the Kurt Voorhees thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's the whole point.
Right. Yeah. It all comes back to Kurt. So moved to Bend, brought my bike with me. I was working in restaurants. That's what I was doing for a job at the time, like in, my college aged years and stuff like that. So I was working in restaurants in Bend and, you know, I had a camera and I had been filming stuff just for fun. Like I had been,
had you done any paid gigs up until this point or were you mostly just doing it for fun?
Just doing it for fun. Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember when my first actual paid gig was. I think it was sometime when I was in Bend.
Yeah.
I was working at this restaurant called Spork in Bend, which is fucking amazing if you're in Bend.
I don't know if I've been to Bend one time.
Yeah.
I don't remember going. It sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Maybe it just sounds familiar because a spork is a fork with a spoon.
It's a fork and a spoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe I was like, that's what I'm remembering is what a spork is.
Yeah. So I worked at that restaurant and there was this one day I was working and I see this very familiar looking fellow walk in the door. I was like,
knew who Kurt Voorhees was.
I knew who Kurt Voorhees was. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of hard not to.
Yeah.
And I saw him and I was just like, kind of said to my manager, I was like, hey, let's like I don't know if you mountain bike. That's Kurt Borges. It's kind of like OG. Like, mm-hmm. it's pretty sick. He's like, you should go talk to him. And I was like, no. Yeah, I'm not a fanboy. Kind of, I don't like, that's not my shtick. It's cool to see him, whatever. And he's like, no, go talk to him. I was like, no. He kept pestering me to go talk to him. And I was just like, no, I'm not going to do it. So I go about my shift. This was like right before I got off my shift. And I had my shift beer. And it's like a bus your own table kind of place. Mm-hmm. So I walked to the bus tub, and Kurt was walking to the bus. We converged nice. At the bus tubs. And I was just kind of like, hey, you're Kurt. That's really cool. I just kind of like introduced my, hey, I'm Doug. I just moved here. It's just really cool. He's like, oh, yeah, that's rad. I'm like, cool. And I just kind of was just like, yeah, I do video stuff sometimes for fun if you ever want to. Film, like, just kind of like threw it out there. Uh-huh. And he's like, oh yeah, that's rad. Yeah, I've kind of been like needing somebody to like help me out with some stuff. Here's my number.
This is 2014.
This is so we moved to Bend in I got my mountain bike 2014, moved to Bend end of 2015. Mm-hmm. So this is 2016 when this happens. And then, yeah, I just was like, yeah.
I'm just trying to remember, like, because he like started a YouTube channel and whatnot, and he just kind of like started blowing up on YouTube, right?
I mean,
around that time.
Yeah, I guess that was right after he had he was in between sponsors at the time.
Mm-hmm. This is before he got sponsored by Niner.
So yeah, introduced myself. He said, oh yeah, that's great. Give me your number and whatever. So I gave him my number. And he actually texted me that night. He's like, yo, let's get together. And I was just like, oh my God, he actually talked to me. It was like, yeah, it was kind of, I was just blown away. I was like, I can't believe it. Like, whoa. So we got together like later that week and like filmed, I forgot what we did. I think we filmed, there's this little trail called Marvin Gardens. It's just like I think it's like a green little flow trail in Bend. And we just filmed some corners, some stuff like that for fun. And we did like that a couple times, and then one day he just handed me like an envelope with some cash in it. And I was like, "Whoa, that's cool!" Like,
well, do you guys didn't negotiate any sort of
no?
Payment.
This he was just like
paid
this,
because he's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's just like, "Hey, this is for your time." I was like, "Whoa, that's super cool!" So we just kept doing stuff like, mm-hmm. and it was just like dumb, mm-hmm. really dumb
like
videos.
The recumbent video
stuff on the recumbent like. Stuff on his little he has this little 50. He'd do like little wheelies around and do these little skits, just, you know, dumb Kurt stuff.
That's so awesome. Yeah, I've never met him, but he seems like a wild character.
Yeah,
is he always that kind of like, just, I don't know, goofy and loose, or is he?
Yeah, he likes to have fun. He's like, I am. My cheeks hurt from smiling and laughing after I'm like hanging out with that guy. He's got so much, he has a lot of stories too, which are pretty great.
Oh, I bet.
So we were doing stuff. I was still working at that restaurant. We were doing Instagram stuff, whatever. And then it was like, that was in the springtime. And he was like getting close to summer. He's like, hey, I'm like going on the road. I've got like, I'm going down to SoCal to do this thing at Snow Summit. And like, I just kind of need someone to follow me around this summer. And he was like, if you want to quit your job, you can like follow me around. And I was just kind of like, oh my God, quit my job. Damn. And follow Kurt Borges around with a camera.
So was he sponsored at this point?
He was with Fox, mm-hmm. and, apparel and helmets and stuff. And then, Camelback and some other, he didn't have a frame sponsor at this time.
So the reason I ask is it's a big expense to like hire a filmer full time, right? For a summer or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, I'm just like wondering like, you know, was it his sponsors that were helping support him in his content creation, or was he just sort of like, I don't know, maybe he had a bunch of money saved up and he is working towards his growing his career?
I think at the time he would have like a budget from his sponsors. Like they would give mm-hmm. him money. Here's budget for media stuff. So I think a lot of the stuff that he was paying me for was coming out of that. Mm-hmm. I don't actually know. I wasn't just like, hey, where's your money coming from? I just never just like threw that question out. But yeah, he was just doing that. So he's like, yeah, if you want to come on the road with me, you totally can. And I was like, no fucking way. Like, this is kind of a gamble because what happens when the summer's over?
Right.
Yeah. Like I had no idea. And at that time, there was also this local film studio that I had been like kind of talking about maybe interning with, and it was like a paid internship, but it was like not very much pay at all, and it would have been just like editing just like their stuff. And I was kind of like, oh man, this like Kurt thing sounds like a little more of like an opportunity. So I took it, and I just hopped in Kurt's van. And, like, went to SoCal. So yeah, we went straight to SoCal. And it was like for this Fox, like they just get like the team together and do like a ride day. So like we get to this house, and it's like, and you know, this is my first thing I'm really doing. And it's like Tyler McCall and like Kenny Smith and like Mike Redding, who used to work for Fox.
You just got thrown right into it.
I just got thrown right in. I was just like, oh, I'm surrounded by
legends.
Legends, yeah. And like Kenny Smith made breakfast for everybody the next day. Wow. So Kenny Smith made me breakfast. Yeah. It was pretty cool. Like, it was like, I was just like, this is insane. Like, I can't believe I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And like, that just kept, like, throughout the summer, like, we were just doing videos and just edits, whatever it was. Like, he had me on a retainer, and I was just available for Kurt. And then through Kurt, he introduced me to all these other guys who lived in Bend. There's like a pretty good scene of like free riders in Bend, which is kind of funny for how flat it is. Yeah.
But which is, I think, a funny misconception about Bend.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of people, you know, it has this, I don't know, I want to like bash on Bend right now, but it has this like, I don't know, like public appearance of everybody is like, it's like a mountain bike town or whatever, you know? But when I went there, I was expecting maybe something like Bellingham, right?
Yeah,
like where it's like, oh yeah, we'll go to this town, there'll be like trail access and all this stuff all around in town. And what I realized was, man, it's like pretty flat, but you know, you can get into a lot of stuff, but you got to drive kind of pretty far to get to the steeper, bigger stuff.
It is, I would call it a mountain bike town destination only, and it's just a different kind of mountain biking. Yeah. I mean, we're pretty lucky to have what we have here. Yeah. And
would you say it's like more cross country or?
Yeah, you know? More cross country. And there's some fun flow trails. There's the Bachelor Bike Parks, like 25 minutes outside of town.
Which I rode there, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it gets better every year. Yeah. I think they have this cool jump line there now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I could pedal from my house to the trails. It just wouldn't be the most exciting trails, at least in my eyes. But mm-hmm. I mean, there was so much stuff centered around biking in that town. So
I mean, I know they got that Phil's trails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then they've got that like really fun dual slalom jump line.
Yeah, that's all right there.
And then there's Prineville, which is like the, Black Sage.
Yeah.
Whatever Carson's thing.
Yeah.
Proving Grounds.
Proving Grounds. Yeah. Well, and Black Sage is at that same site too.
Yeah.
And Black Sage was, the very first Fest mm-hmm. series that Carson and Kyle hosted. But yeah, there's lots of riding. It wasn't like the riding that I was trying to align with. But for those guys that I was shooting, they all had like their zones. They have jumps and like, I mean, they're doing free ride stuff. It's like, it was sick. They had like, you know, backyard stuff or whatever it was. So, so it was a great, like through Kurt, I was able to network through all these people and like get work with Cam and his sponsors, Cam, cause Cam McCall lived there, mm-hmm. Carson lived there, and Kyle James. All those dudes were there. So it was really cool. It was great. And then from there, I was just able to kind of like go off on my own.
Yeah.
I was freelancing full time in Bend for like the last year I was there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
and now you're back to freelancing.
I'm back. Yeah.
So when you moved back to Bellingham, did you go straight to Fanatic or did you
work
somewhere else or you just moved into town and started working at Fanatic?
That's the job.
Were you doing video stuff for them right out of the gate?
Yeah, that's the job that brought me back to Bend. I applied for that job while I lived in Bend, and because we would come down come up to Bellingham mm-hmm. and ride bikes. And there was this one weekend we just had a great time riding bikes, and we were just like, oh man. And like a couple days later, my buddy texted me. He's like, hey, Fanatic's hiring like a media person. You should just apply for it and just see what happens. So I applied for it and like 2 weeks later, I was packing up and moving to Bellingham.
Yeah.
Moving back to Bellingham.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was just doing all their photo or video and photo stuff for like the last, it was like 4.5 years almost. Yeah.
Or 4 years. I mean, you, it feels like you grew their media like stuff pretty substantially.
I mean,
I don't remember what their content was like before you joined.
Yeah.
But I feel like you helped instrumentally in sort of like the like quality of their content.
I mean, they were beforehand, they had a YouTube channel and they were doing reviews and stuff like that. And they had a great, media person at the time. Do you remember Brian Chapel? He used to live here in town.
Oh,
he shot photos.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He was their media person and he actually, he was moving back to Colorado, I think is what it was. So that's why the position opened. So yeah, they were kind of on the right track already to like grow their YouTube and, you know, a lot of it, I had direction to help out, but that's kind of like the way that like things are going now. There's like all these shops that have like YouTube channels and it's like a great marketing. It's a great way to market themselves. And like people like to trust who they buy things from.
Yeah.
So it's a great way to get like more personal approach to,
totally.
Yeah. Know who you get stuff from. So.
Yeah. And I actually really would like to have somebody either, you know, maybe it's Dan or somebody on here or, you know, I don't know. But somebody, have somebody from Fanatic on here to kind of talk about, I do think that like this podcast would be really cool to showcase shops.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
And Fanatic also has, you know, they're a big online retailer, but they're, you know, definitely the biggest shop in Bellingham.
Yeah, definitely. And, yeah.
You know, so, or maybe it's Mark, you know, or, you know, who's the other, what's his wife's name?
Mark and Kathy.
Kathy.
Yeah. And that there's actually, there's new owners now and it's actually Mark's son, Kyle, and his wife, Bree.
Oh, really?
And Bree was the, I believe she was the accountant at the time when I worked there. So now they're, they own it and they're.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah. I was like what month is it? It's November.
Yeah.
That happened in like, I want to say that was like June, May or June or something like that. Oh. So yeah, it's in good hands.
Yeah.
I'm stoked to see like how much like it's growing now and like from like when I started in 2016 to now, it's crazy. Like,
yeah.
It's pretty crazy to see.
Also the content. So I think Logan that is
Logan in Nelson. There? Yeah.
The content is, you know, I really like his style
of
content creation also.
Yeah.
You know, him being on there, that the video they just put out, that like destroying the DT Swiss wheel.
Yeah.
That was just too great. I was like, oh my God, this is really fun content.
Yeah. I'm stoked. They have him at the helm now because his videos are all really entertaining. So
yeah.
And he's really good at what he does. So
yeah.
I'm happy for them. So
yeah. So you worked there. Now you're back to being freelance again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hired you to help with Blake's, you know, Blake got chosen to be a part of Dirt Diaries.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she reached out and was like, hey, can Tenet support that project in any way? So I hired you to do it. And I think you did such a good job.
Thank you.
The concept was great. I don't know. I don't know if that was all Blake on that. It was so funny. When we had her on here, I intended, this is like sort of the demise or the fall of a unstructured podcast, is you don't get to talk about some of the things you want to talk about.
Right.
And her and I didn't get to talk about that project, but it leaves us an opportunity to talk about that project.
I'll do my best, Blake. that was so much fun. And that whole video was very fluid. It was ever evolving.
Mm-hmm.
We were like, we had 2 days to shoot the whole thing.
Yeah. Which I think a lot of people don't realize. So I don't even know how much time everybody else gets.
Months, I mean,
right?
I can't say either. I don't know. I think a lot of it had to do with scheduling. Mm-hmm. You know, Blake lives in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Bellingham. And then there was Michaela Gatto and Kelsey Timpani. And then Via Veerbeek was also in it.
Mm-hmm.
So like getting all those people together was probably a I probably imagine a hard time. I was just along for the ride at that point. But we didn't really have a concept. We didn't really have a concept besides knowing it's Blake's first trip to Whistler.
Yeah.
That was all we had really at that point.
So whose idea was it to shoot like Wes Anderson style?
That was a group. That was like, we put all our brains together.
Yeah.
That kind of came through like Michaela and, we had Zach, do you know Zach? He's that guy, Zach, on Instagram. Yeah. I forget his last name.
Starts with a P. It's really hard to
Zach
pronounce.
Zach P.
Pockert. Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry, Zach.
he was there shooting photos and like helping out. And we all just like, we all sat down like the night that we got in, like, what should we do? So it kind of, we were just bouncing things off each other and it all just kind of, we were like, we should do like, Wes Anderson. We were all like, we were watching like little Wes Anderson clips on YouTube, like segments from movies and stuff, trying to like, okay, we want to replicate like this shot in this way, things like that. So
it was so fun.
It was a blast. And like, I love Blake. I love hanging out with Blake.
No,
so.
For sure.
it was a lot of fun to hang out with Blake for a few days.
So you guys, you know, you guys departed, went up to Whistler, and you got how many days in before Blake got hurt?
That was the first
day.
That was the first shot I filmed the whole trip. Was Blake just wadding on, I think, Shale Master. Just like, and she had it too. She was like, just overcooked it a little bit. And oh my God, I can't believe she was okay.
Yeah.
You know, relatively okay after that. It was a miracle. But we stopped riding after that. And filmed pretty much the whole, like, all the skit stuff, all the everything but like the dock scene. We did that the next morning. We pretty much filmed all the rest of it like that evening. And then finished up all the rest as the second day went on. So very little like the riding, we just kept it mellow, you know. Blake took a nice tumble, so we were like, let's just do a little bit of this and like pivot to this more this direction. So it was always like we were always trying to adapt to what was going on. So
from the sounds of it, you know, like kind of like playing off like, you know, the cuff, you know, shooting off the cuff and grinding off the cuff, I think it came together so well. Like it had such a really fun story. All the shots melded really well together. Just overall, I just thought it was really, really fun video for sure.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that I wished it would have performed a little better. I was expecting it to, but, I mean, that's a tough competition.
It is. And
talent there.
Sorry. I was just happy to be a part of it. That was like, I mean, the first Crankworks I did was with Kirk 2016. And I remember watching, I was like, oh man, this would be so cool. And even if I wasn't like necessarily invited, I just kind of like hopped in. I was just like, man, that was one of the funnest things, most hectic projects I've done. And Blake crushed it on the editing. Like she edited that whole piece. And
I think a lot of people don't realize that that's her job.
That's her job. Yeah.
You know,
she's really good at it.
She's a professional video editor.
Yeah.
The color grading and all that stuff was so great.
Yeah. Yeah. She did a really good job. I was just
nice and warm.
Yeah.
Really like warm footage.
Right. It was awesome. So, and even like the intro for that video, which was like, hi, I'm Blake. We filmed that like after we got back from Whistler. That was in the Galbraith parking lot. So it was like, and like the shot of her driving into Whistler, that was when we were leaving. So we were, there's a lot of movie magic going on there, but it was, it was a lot of fun. So I'm stoked that, she didn't get hurt too bad and we were able to like persist, but you know, safety is like the number one thing. So, we kind of just shifted at that point. So, I think it turned out pretty good. So,
next time I have her on here, which, you know, when she moves here, hopefully we can have her on pretty soon after that.
Yeah.
I really want her to tell her side of kind of the making of that.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely. She would be, I'm sure she's got a great way to tell that story.
Yeah.
Because she's really good at that. So,
yeah.
So that was awesome. I'm like, and thank you for hiring me though.
No, it was great. You know, you were the first person that came to mind when she was like, she's like, oh, can you help? And I was like, what if I pay for a filmer? And she's like, okay, who? I was like, Doug. I'm going to hire Doug to film. She's like, okay, great. Sounds awesome. And Yeah. So I'm glad it worked out perfectly.
And that was like I met her at Hang Time the year prior. And then I had met her actually at the Deep Purple launch show party. And then maybe a few Instagram messages, but the first time we really, spent much time together was actually the weekend. Yeah. Prior to shooting that video at, what was that thing called? Tune Up. Cause she was here for Tune Up. So, it was cool. She stayed at the house and it was just awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, really great person. So,
back to kind of working freelance again, what projects, I guess, are on the forefront that you're either excited about, or do you have a dream project that you want to dig into project. Or shoot or anything, a movie? I don't know.
Yeah.
Where's what's the limit, Doug?
The sky is the limit, Tyler. I don't know.
Cause there's not a lot of money in mountain bike content creation or ski content creation. The money is outside of that. I know a lot of people who start, in this industry. Don't know a lot of people. I know of a lot of people who start in this industry.
Yeah.
And then they move on and they get clients that are Mercedes-Benz, Ford.
You know,
I don't know. They're shooting huge commercials, Super Bowl commercials and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Spike Jonze. He's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Filmer person ever.
Mm-hmm.
He started in skateboarding.
Right.
Started in BMX actually.
Mm, didn't know that.
He was a BMX photographer for BMX Action. Huh. And then he got into skateboarding. He was with Big Brother and all these other, shooting all these other media, all this media and whatnot. But then he moved into music videos, Sonic Youth videos all these bands. And then, Beastie Boys. He shot the Beastie Boys. Fat Boy Slim.
Yeah.
He shot a Fat Boy Slim video.
Is that the one with Christopher Walken?
With Christopher Walken dancing in the hotel and he's levitating, floating.
Yeah. It's like Weapon of Choice, I think that's the name of the song. Yeah.
Yeah.
And awesome.
And then he moved on to shooting Being John Malkovich.
Yeah.
And all these big movies. He won a Grammy.
Yeah.
Dude
wears many hats.
Yeah. Now he's the CEO of Vice Media Group.
Yeah.
He's
doing pretty well.
If I were to sit down with Spike Jonze, back then, I doubt he probably would have known my dream is to be the CEO of Vice Media Group and shoot Fat Boy Slim video and make movies and win a Grammy.
Yeah.
But that's where I led him, right?
Yeah.
So do you have a dream project that you would just love to undertake?
A dream project? Yeah. That's actually a really good question. I kind of feel like that ski movie was kind of a dream project.
Yeah.
Only because, it just was something I really wanted to do. And I've known Micah since he was 13. So to see him as a skier go from where he is now, from where he was then to where he is now, was just really cool. And I was just really happy to help him out and make her just a great movie with my friend, everything has its ups and downs, but that was definitely my favorite project that I've ever done. And I don't know what'll be next, but, as far as future, I mean, there's some stuff that I have coming up. I have some winter stuff. I have a video that I'm doing with this bike brand and also, Rough Wear. So it'll be a dog and bike video and I'm building trails for it. So it'll be really cool. Hopefully we don't get snowed out. Yeah. So that one I'm pretty excited about because,
It's kind of crazy. We're, for the viewers that are listening or watching Bellingham, it went from summer straight into winter.
Yeah. Dust to
we literally snow. The beginning or it was beginning to mid October. I can't remember when, but we had smoke. It was 80 degrees and smoky here.
Yeah.
And then it suddenly just overnight turned to just straight winter.
Yeah.
And it's been pretty brutal.
There's literally an atmospheric river happening as we sit here.
It just, I mean, we just took all the rain that we were supposed to get in October and we're just getting it right now.
Yeah. I think we were on average,
but yeah, and I think they're calling for snow
yeah
in town possibly next week. So I don't know. Whoop-de-doo. Your trail digging days might be coming to an end, my friend.
Yeah. Wah, wah. Yeah. There was another project that I did that was really fun. Music is a big part of my life. Mm-hmm. I play the drums, and I've just like I've been like since I remember. Like my mom had a really cool job where she would rate music videos. That was her job when my sister and I were kids. She would like new music videos were coming out. And she was watching them and giving them ratings. So, like, I would always be in the office. She'd bring us to the office with her. So, like, and she was always playing music around the house, stuff like that. So, so there was a project, and this is when I still lived in Bend. It was a project with The Lone Wolf and Trek. Mm-hmm. And this was, like, right when The Lone Wolf had kind of was getting started. And it was with Cam McCall. It was, like, it was called Suburban Escape. And it was essentially like, you know, he's a dad and he's just trying to get out on a ride and mm-hmm. do his, you know, Cam's a pretty wacky guy. So mm-hmm. he's like, he was the perfect guy for the video. And for that video, we were like, what do we do about the music? Like, we're not really sure. And I had been jamming with Cam because he plays guitar and bass. And Dusty Weigel, he also lives in Bend. Oh, yeah. He plays guitar. And we were actually at his house.
Dusty is like one of those most underrated riders.
Dusty is insane. He's like, so good. I can do anything on a bicycle. Yeah.
That's Carson's cousin, right?
I don't know. I think that's right. Carson's cousin is a pro snowboarder, I think.
Oh.
Isn't he? I don't know. Carson, I don't know.
I don't know.
but we had been jamming prior to this video. We're like, oh, we should do the music for this video. Like, we didn't know what to do. We're like, we've been playing Ace of Spades a lot by Motorhead.
Just so, over and over and
over and over again. So we were like, what if we did like an Ace of Spades video and then like their buddy Tony, he was like a singer in like this band for a while. So he wrote some lyrics that like went along with like the edit or to, like the editing of the song. So essentially like I took an instrumental track that we recorded and then we shot the video and I edited the video just with the instrumental track, but like knowing when the, like, yep. you know, the bridge or like chorus or whatever it was. Yep. So like I could cut with video. And then Tony wrote lyrics that like went along with like what Cam was doing.
What?
Like, you know, like, man, wheelie down the street. How have I not wave seen to the neighbors. This? Yeah. I'll have to send it to you. It's like, it was we'll a fun
to,
video.
We'll have to throw a link in the description.
Do a little link in there. Yeah. But, that was really fun just because I got to do like
the music,
and that's like my first love. Is, like, see music, that? So.
Oh man, I think there's potential there, Doug.
Yeah.
Do you play the guitar also?
I dabble.
Yeah.
I dabble. I could do Wonderwall.
I mean, you know.
So
you can play the drums. Could you produce a song, an entire song alone?
That's, you know, it's funny you say that. That's like a goal of mine would be to like record all the music for a video, like all on my own. And I'm like, okay, a guitar, I can play like some, I'm not doing solos, but you know, I can do a good rhythm, know some chords and stuff. Yeah. And like, I've played drums since I was like 13.
Yeah. I've watched your Instagram videos of you playing your electric drum set.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been doing some little covers and stuff like that.
The Foo Fighters one.
Yeah. That was when Taylor passed away. Yeah. That was my little tribute. But, but
can you play any Tool covers?
Danny Carey's a really good drummer.
Yes. He's impossible.
I even went back to like early Tool when I was like, oh, he wasn't, maybe he was like worse then. He's still really good. Still really good. So maybe someday. I would love to produce like a whole, and I'm not going to sing, but I'm going to do an instrumental song. Would be really cool.
Yeah.
So eventually I'd like to get like, if I ever buy a house, get an acoustic drum set. And like actually do like a
build a soundproof room.
Yeah, that would be
a little studio.
It's definitely like a goal of mine. To do like record my own music for a video. Yeah, so
that'd be cool. There was I was just watching. Oh man, I don't know. It was one of the Nine Club episodes. I talk about how I really like that podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But they had someone on there where they were talking about, I don't know which episode it was, but doesn't matter. But they were talking about how this person picked the song, edited the video to the song, their skate video to the song. And then they couldn't get the rights, or when they went to go purchase the rights to the music for whatever, to put it on YouTube or wherever they're going to distribute it. Mm-hmm. They would, like, the band was like, oh yeah, $20,000.
Oh my God.
I think it was Thrasher or somebody.
Yeah.
Thrasher or somebody was like, we're not going to pay that much money.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he had his friend who was in a band. Mm-hmm. They played a cover of it.
Uh-huh.
So they just, because you can cover a song as long as it's not the exact song. You can, it's right. not illegal to cover a song.
Yeah.
And so they covered and recorded a song, the same song,
mm-hmm.
and then put it on. That's and awesome. Edited to that.
Yeah.
And like with their own little like twist to it, you know,
right.
whatever. And it was good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like,
I mean, it's funny, 'cause there's actually a project I'm doing right now. It's just an editing project. I'm editing a video part for a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And the he was like, oh, like music's gonna be hard. Like, we don't have budget for music. But they're friends with this band, Future Islands, I think is what they're called. Mm-hmm. And they've known them for a long time, and they have a song that they like recorded like in their shower or like in their bathroom,
mm-hmm.
like years ago before they were like a big band. So like, he's like, they're cool with it. So like, we can use their music and,
got rights to it.
Like direct. Yes. Yeah. from the friends.
I think that's like another area in the video world that is lacking,
mm-hmm.
is access to getting rights to actual like big bands, like,
yeah.
well-known songs.
Right.
You know, there's websites you can go to, like Epidemic Sound is one I use a lot,
mm-hmm.
but like, you know, you can download a song, pay whatever, $15 a month or whatever for a subscription plan to
yeah.
Epidemic Sound. And then whatever, as long as you keep that subscription upright, you get, you can publish music, your videos with that music,
mm-hmm.
without any worry of getting it taken down by YouTube or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Or being able to monetize
right.
via YouTube or something like that, which I can't monetize, but
yeah.
But regardless, you know, there's no really well-known bands on that site.
Mm-hmm.
They're all, you know, smaller creatives. They're good. It's good music.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good content and good
right.
music on there, but it's all like very unknown musicians.
Yeah.
So like, if I wanted to use like, I don't know, Future Islands, let's just say,
yeah.
like, you know, in like, if I didn't have access to the band, how do you even begin to
yeah.
get the rights to that?
Right.
More than likely, you probably contact the record label,
mm-hmm.
and then the record label goes, sure, we'll give you the rights to that for your YouTube video.
Yeah.
It's going to be whatever, $20,000,
right.
you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, dude, this is like a little bike video.
I know. That's the thing. Yeah.
It will be seen by maybe 10,000 people.
Right.
You know, like,
there was a video, for anybody local listening, if you know Finn Hopper, he's a great guy, great writer, did a video with Finn Hopper. And there was this song, that I was listening to at the time. It was by this band called Stoned Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I forget what the name of the song was called. And they were like, there's like this European, you know, metal band. And, I think they had like 10,000 followers on Instagram or something like that. And I just like sent a DM. I was like, hey,
mm-hmm.
gonna do this video, like mountain bike video, like would love to use your song. And they're just like, yeah, just like credit us. You're good. I was like, dude, sick.
Yeah.
So there's like,
and that's
yeah.
all you need.
That's all you
honestly
need.
You could like now. You could wanted to monetize your YouTube video, right?
Yeah,
if you had a channel that you were like, oh, I'm gonna monetize my video, you could monetize your video with just a Instagram message from somebody that says, yeah, you got my permission to
yeah,
use my song.
Right.
You know, and that like is enough
right.
to allow you the rights to be able to use that. But if you don't, like the way YouTube works is if you use a Stone Jesus song without permission,
mm-hmm.
and it's actually a really good system
mm-hmm.
for the bands, because what happens is you'll post that video, the YouTube system can hear it,
uh-huh.
you know, it listens to
yeah.
it, it plays your video back, finds the sound waves, matches it
mm-hmm.
to whatever song it is, and then it'll tag it. I don't know if you notice that. If you scroll down in the description, it'll say like music rights by blah, 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 right. licensed by this band.
Mm-hmm.
And then when what happens is if an ad plays on your YouTube video,
mm-hmm.
instead of that revenue going to you, if you were able to monetize, I think you have to have like 10,000 subscribers or something to monetize. Yeah, I don't really remember what the number is, but if you have a X amount of numbers, you can get paid per view for your videos.
Yeah.
But if you don't have the legal rights to use that, the band gets paid.
Oh, wow. That's great for them.
Yeah. It's really great. It's actually really awesome. I mean, because like otherwise, you know, those ads that are playing and nobody's getting paid, you know, like it should be going, that money should be going to somebody who deserves it.
Right? Yeah. Right.
So,
And just what you wonder how, like, I mean, music. Yeah. I love music. As I stated, and I've seen a lot of videos where I'm just like, oh, this just, they grabbed like a corporate rock song from like freevideomusic.com. Yeah. Uh-huh. I was just like, man, it's like music can make or break a video.
Oh,
like
big
it
time.
Really can. Yeah. I mean, maybe not for everybody, but for me it can.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's probably like when I edit, like I spend a lot of time trying to find like the right song just because like maybe I saw that, maybe I heard that song in my head and was like, oh, this is, I want to do this song or vice versa. So
I don't know about you, but sometimes when I hear music,
mm-hmm.
when I'm like, if I'm just like listening to a Spotify and a song comes on, I will, you know, like, I'll suddenly start seeing writing clips that don't exist, like, or whatever.
Yeah,
like I'll just have visions of like, oh my God, this is like misty forest trees, like wisping, whatever, you know,
where I'm just like driving a car, like putting my head on the window, like looking out at the rain. Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is such a good song for this type of video.
Yeah, exactly.
And I like, oftentimes I'll save that, put it into like a little playlist or whatever. It's like video songs. And
yeah, then, exactly. Yeah.
You know, totally. Like there's, so I've been wanting to shoot a video with Hannah for a very long time. And actually, I had a song picked out, but fucking Sky Shillhammer.
Damn it, Sky.
You son of a bitch. He used it in the Johnny Salido video, the Whistler video.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And I actually messaged him. I was like, damn it, Sky. I want to use it. He's like, oh, yeah, I kind of remember you said you wanted to use that song for something. He's like, but it's been used in a bunch of other stuff. And I was like, whatever. But he did find another song that he shared with me. He's like, oh, what about this one for Hannah's video? Because I've been wanting to shoot this Hannah video.
Yeah.
And he sent it to me, and I was like, oh, yeah, it's fucking perfect, there dude. That's such a good song.
Yeah.
So, like, we haven't shot a single clip. Him and I have been talking about collabing on shooting a video with Hannah for years now, it seems like. But we haven't shot a single clip for that video.
Mm-hmm.
But we already got the song, which I actually really like filming to a song, like based off a song, because you know the tempo, you know, like, do I need fast panning shots? Do I need locked on? Like, whatever. Yeah, like, you know, there's like a lot more. It kind of directs your creative side.
Yeah. It's like a form of pre-production in a way. It's like, you know, you have your shot list or whatever, but like, yeah, you can cater that shot list to like, okay, there's like a jump in the song here. So we need like energetic shots for like this or whatever it is. So, I mean, a lot of it too. Yeah. That's just like listen to a lot of music, and like, you'll probably find a good song for a video at some point.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I can totally relate to the, just like hearing a song, be like, yeah, someone's doing just like clicking a table right there.
Yeah. Just, that'd be sick. They're slapping a berm in slow mo. Right. There's roost coming out.
Like, oh man, that'd be sick. And then the shot never happens ever.
You're like, no,
maybe next year. Music matters a lot.
Yeah.
It's a big part of my life. So,
Where do you just like listen to Spotify or whatever and have Discover Weekly, or do you like, how do you discover new music?
I mean, I don't really discover a ton of new music. No. I kind of get like sucked in.
Ways.
Well, I listen to, I just really like older music, like not like older, but like, I mean, I grew up listening to punk rock, you know, like early 2000s. So I like that era a lot for music, or like even like prior to that. Like I said, my mom had this really cool job, so like she would wake my sister and I up with Pearl Jam or like Talking Heads or something like that.
Wow, so it sounds like you have a really cool mom.
She's pretty rad. Yeah. Hi, mom. But yeah, it's like, it's really important. I don't know where I was going with that. I kind of lost my
train. No, we were talking about just discovering music.
Yeah. Discovering music.
You kind of like have the bands that you.
Yeah. And it's, anyway. I mean, I'm still listening to more stuff. I've just kind of, I'm one of those people who like, I'll get like stoked on something. Like, I want to listen to this album for like a week straight. And then I'm going to go to the next one. And I'm like, yeah. I don't know. I listen to a lot of the same. I have like this playlist. I'm just like, I just really like this playlist. It's got like everything I like on it. So
I have the same. So I, with my Spotify, I listen, I have like, you know, all of my Discover Weeklies or whatever. And I'll like save whatever songs, or if they're songs I already really like, I have them all saved. But I have a huge playlist of like, you know, 1,000 songs that I just normally just put on shuffle.
Yeah, exactly.
And Lou actually gets really annoyed because we'll go on a road trip or wherever, or we'll drive somewhere, and I put on my Spotify, and she's like, oh, fuck, I've heard this song like 10,000 times.
Yeah.
You need to find new music, you know?
Yeah. She's going to like what I like, you know? Know what you like. Stick with it.
Yeah, she's like, I've heard NWA fuck the police way too many times.
Okay, we get it. Yes, fuck the police. Yes, okay, next song. Yeah. Yeah, in a perfect world, you could just use any song you wanted to, but
yeah, I mean, you still can.
You can.
It just goes to somebody else.
Right.
Actually, I think the only time that you might get a song taken down is if it's a band that just does, like, it's a huge band, like U2 or Pink Floyd or some shit. Like, maybe, like, then you'd get a song taken down. Because Sky was telling me that they don't get the rights to any. He's like, I just use whatever song I want.
Yeah. And it's, if you're not monetizing.
Yeah, if you're not worried about monetization or anything like that, like, then you don't have anything to worry about, right? Yeah. And so, like, he just uses whatever song he wants. And I think he said he's only had, like, one video that's gotten pulled down because of a...
And there's, like, I mean, there's bands, there's, like, songs that are blocked in certain countries or whatever it is. And, like, things like that. But, like, and I don't know how much, like... How many views or like how many ads you have to run to really like make a significant amount off your videos on YouTube? That's something I'm not really sure of. Like,
you know, I have no idea either.
Yeah.
To be honest, that's a really good question for a YouTuber.
Right.
That is monetizing their channel and living off of that stuff. But I honestly think you would have to have like tens of thousands of views to even come close to making a paycheck.
Right.
Like, I think it may, like, we're talking like, I'm guessing, I'm just totally guessing, like 50,000 views on one video to make like, I don't know,
$50.
Yeah. $100
or something. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's why a lot of those guys are posting a video almost every day or like 3 times a week or some shit, you know, cause they're.
And a lot of the time, like it's the brand hosting the video. It's not up to me to like, I'm not posting them, so it's like whatever.
And you don't have would you like to have a channel that like you grow and create content with? Is that something that you'd even ever consider, or are you just more like, no, I want to create really cool content for other people and they do whatever the fuck they want with it?
I mean, at this point, like, I just really want to make money, some money, and I really like what I do too, so it's like it's a double great thing. But I have a Vimeo like page, which is like a collection of like, you know, maybe the one, like I'll just host these videos individually on my own, just to have them somewhere. I mean, I'd love to make my own content, like my own Doug vision stuff.
Yeah.
So like, I guess, you know, I've been slacking on making a show reel for a while. Yeah. So that's like something.
I mean, there's so much. I don't know if you can tell, and maybe some of the people can tell, I am a fan of internet content creation. Mm-hmm. Like I really, like I look, and this is why the podcast exists, is because I see people like the Nine Club and what they've created. Uh-huh. And I think to myself like, oh, that's so fucking cool.
Yeah.
They did that just all on their own.
Right.
Right? They didn't like create a pilot and then like pitch it to like whoever, this media group, and be like, hey, will you fund our blah blah blah. No, they just fucking did it,
right?
And that's the beauty of like the world we live in now. Mm-hmm. You know, like a YouTuber can make more money than a fucking actor or a a huge media corporation. You can create your own brand and be fully in control of the content that you create and how you distribute it and who you want to market to and whatnot.
Right.
And so, and I think that's the future of just content in general. Yeah. And you see people too, like, oh man, Letterkenny, I think is like a perfect example. Yeah. You know, like that's like a, they started off as an internet like satire group, whatever. Right. And then they got picked up and now it's a whole TV show. Right. Like, like there's all these people who are creating their own content on their own terms at their own time and whatever. And they're not just waiting around for somebody else to do it. And so my thought is like with someone like yourself, if you have the ability to create, like you're really talented at creating stuff, you have the equipment, you have all this stuff, like why not, when you're not filming for somebody else, apply that skill set to something for your own self and grow it on the side, you know?
I mean, maybe
it's like too much time or too much energy, but
well, a lot of these, like some of the projects that I have coming are projects that like I came up with that I pitched to like a company.
Yeah.
So it's like this video that I'm working towards or like planning on right now is something that me and somebody came like, we should do this video. This would be really cool. Let's get an idea together and like propose it to these companies and see how it works.
Yeah. So, you're not just sitting around waiting for somebody to say,
I mean, I could never be a freelancer if I just sat here and waited for people to, you know, hire me. It's like, I gotta go find work on my own, you know? Yeah. So, it does include a creative process too. I mean, which is great. I mean, every project's different. Sometimes there's like, you know, they're like a client's like, hey, we want this, 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 and this. And you're like, sweet.
Yeah.
Whereas like some of like the one I'm working on now, I'm like, I want to see like this. This is how it'll be beneficial to you as a brand, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that.
I can respect that.
Yeah.
Big time. You know, from I did freelance for a little bit while I was growing Tenet, you know, but I cherish the Lacey Kemps of the world because, you know, she is a visionary. She has an idea of exactly what she wants. She knows, like, she can picture it in her head.
And
she can, like, describe that vision to you very well.
Mm-hmm.
And you just help her create it. And that for me, because I pour all of my creative energy into this brand.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I was utilizing and I still am a bit, you know, utilizing freelance as a way to pay my bills, right?
Yeah.
Tenet doesn't really pay. I don't pay myself a lot of money. A lot of people don't realize. Maybe from the outside, you're like, oh my God, Tenet's a huge brand, but it's not. You know, this is the first year I've ever paid myself a little bit of money.
Hey,
you know?
That's so great.
It's great.
Congrats.
It's super awesome. Nice. Thank you.
Don't spend it all in one place.
But, you know, like, so I still supplement my living expenses by doing a little bit of content creation on the side. And I don't know if anyone really knows that. But regardless, after pouring a lot of energy into creating, like building the brand and putting all of my creative energy into Tenet, it's really nice when somebody just says, hey, can you come and bring your equipment? I have all this vision and make pretty pictures for me. And I'm going to tell you exactly what I want. And then you just do it and you offload the footage and it's done.
Yeah.
I love that relationship.
Yeah. Those are great. Those are great.
When it's like, you know, you got to like pay your bills. It's really great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but for me personally, you know, like when I think about like, okay, if I'm going to be creating any sort of like really, any content that is like, I'm pouring any creative energy into, I want it to be something directly for myself.
Yeah.
Like whether it's this brand,
you know,
like putting all that creative energy into a video or photos or something for this company.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, this podcast, you know, like it's stuff like that, you
know,
that's going to uplift my like the brand that I've developed, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, that's why I ask you, you know, like you know, do you have like, and maybe and it sounds like you're doing that, you're getting your creative energy out, but you're utilizing, you're doing it for other brands, you know, you're pitching it to other brands,
right?
And I fully respect that.
It's awesome. It's kind of the best of both worlds in that scenario. And like it was really cool when I was when I lived in Bend and I was doing stuff more regularly with Kurt, you know, Niner, when he got on Niner, they would just be like, here's budget, go have fun. Like, we got to come up with everything on our own. Like, I mean, Kurt, that guy can, there's so many ideas that is running around that guy's head. So like, yeah. It was always really awesome to like have that creative process and like creative freedom, because you know, the brand, they just wanted a sick video of Kurt riding his bike, yeah. You know, like no matter what it was. So, yeah. You know, within reason, of course, yeah. For like a brand, you know, to post and things like that. But that was awesome because we could, you know, Kurt's like, hey, like there's this Anthrax song I really want to use. Like, let's do this. And yeah. Then we made a video with Anthrax. It's
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. So yeah, it kind of is kind of different between each project, really. Sure. So, I would love to dedicate more time to like shooting things for myself and like creating a reel and like filming things that just I generally want to do. I mean, passion projects are kind of what like fuel.
Sure.
You know,
what is like, so bike, ski, is there any other, you know, like you have a passion for music.
Mm-hmm.
Could you ever envision yourself like shooting a music video for a band?
Absolutely. Yeah. I would love to.
Yeah.
Like I always say, if I wasn't in the bike industry, I'd be in the music industry somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it would be. Maybe I'd be the drummer of a band. That'd be pretty yeah. cool. But, in the perfect world, yeah, I'd be, on the world tour right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like music, like skateboarding too. Yeah. Like, I think like media and skateboarding is like, the coolest.
Yeah, I know. No, I know. It's the coolest. And that's something that Blake and I talked about a little bit.
Yeah.
That, you know, mountain biking is boring. It's right? Fucking boring. Yeah. Like it's all so similar.
Yeah.
And I think there are people who are doing really good stuff within the mountain biking space, but I look at skateboarding, the skateboard industry, and I go, oh God, these guys are having so much fun.
So much fun.
They're all creating really cool content.
Yeah.
And it's like collabs. And right. There's so much like depth yeah. to everything they do.
Well, it's all real too. Yeah. That's the other thing. It's yeah. like skateboarding, at least skateboarding, like you watch Thrasher, it's all just raw. Like, yeah. I mean, you're getting guys' personalities, you're getting all the stuff that's when they're not skating.
Yeah.
And the brands that they're skating for, they don't care.
Yeah.
Like, that's like,
part of me too is like, you know, Blake and I were talking about this. It's the culture surrounding skateboarding.
Yeah.
Skateboarding has, they've got art and music and all that is so entwined within skate culture where right. I feel like that's not the case in mountain biking yet.
Yeah.
I hope that that becomes more the case. You know, and I hope that Tenet can help push that. You
yeah.
know, that would be a goal. Like the Deep Purple Party is a great example of sort of trying to meld the world of music
yeah.
and like, you know, whatever.
That but, was really fun. That
yeah, was it was fun. Party. We had live music, we had beer, we had product on display. Like it was,
yeah.
it felt like I wanted it to feel like a concert.
Yeah.
Like that you were going to a show.
Right.
You know, like the, like coming into here and all the product and everything, I wanted it to feel like a merch booth.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think you nailed it. Like, it, yeah. I mean,
you know,
the bands were awesome.
Yeah.
Everybody was really enjoying it. It's loud.
I feel like that's just the tip though. Yeah. Like it can there's so it much... can keep going from there, you know?
Yeah. And that's like, I mean, that's something I'd like to see. Like, I mean, this is, I'm glad you're talking about this because like there is a lot of just like redundant
yeah.
mountain bike media. And yeah,
let's film a guy riding down the trail. He's slapping some corners, taking some jumps. He's
yeah.
stylish. It's cool. It's to whatever music. It's got some yeah. scenic misty woods and stuff.
Right. And I've done those.
Throw the brand yeah. logo on the end.
Exactly.
Me too. Tenet yeah. has done that also.
Right.
Throw the logo on the end. Cool.
Yeah.
Gone. It's there today, gone tomorrow.
Right.
And then that is the case. Literally, it is at the bottom of Pink Bike Vital and all these other websites, pages before yeah. the end of the day.
Right.
I mean, and
there's no anticipation either.
No, there's no anticipation. Yeah. It doesn't stick around. Half the people probably stop watching halfway mm-hmm. through the video because right. they're like, oh, yeah, I've seen this before, yeah. you know? Right. And like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think there's so much room for creativity in the mountain bike world. And I want to be a part of it. I want to
yeah.
help push that and promote that.
And there's a lot of stories to tell too.
Big
I
time.
Mean, it's like, yeah. and there's things that like, maybe, I mean, I'm happy to see more media surrounding like mental health. I think that's really important. Mm-hmm. And like, especially here in Washington, like we won't see the sun until March.
Yeah.
Like this Sunday is daylight savings and it's going to be dark at 3:30. So yeah. it's like, and you know, last year, like like, I was really bummed out. Like, you know, I to the point where I had to, like, see a therapist and, like, get on medication and things. And, like, it's a big, like, it's something that a lot of people deal with, but nobody really talks about. Yeah. So I'm, like, I'm happy to see it become less of a stigma and more, like, in the limelight kind of things like that. Yeah. It's just, it's really important to... We can use biking as a way to tell some really important
stories. And there are some really good, I don't know, there was a video that came out not long ago that was surrounding that in skateboarding. Mm-hmm. It was like a skater that battled with bipolar disorder or depression or some forms of, you know, mental health issues. And they, you know, built this really cool piece about it that is informational and inspirational at the same time. And it, like... that kind of shit is so cool.
Yeah, it, like, resonates with people. Yeah. It's like,
because we can, I mean, yeah, you can relate to it. You know, absolutely. If you are experiencing those emotions, you're like, oh, I'm not alone.
Right. So. And I'm like, and like, on the subject of relatable things, it's like, it's cool to see more people, more humans in front of the camera that aren't just like male, pro, number, whatever. Yeah. You know, it's like, we're seeing a lot more media with a lot more, I mean, the mountain biking world is huge. There's so many different people. There's so many different kinds of people. And it's really cool to see more of them represented these days, because I mean, I think with every sport, it can be a big problem, you know, like bro culture, toxic masculinity kinds of things. Yeah. Like it's there in every sport. And like, it's really cool to see things progressing past that now. It's long overdue. So
I think mountain biking in general is on the forefront of it's going to, like, it's like finally getting out of this, like, rut. And it's, I think it can only go, I personally feel like it can only go up from here.
Yeah.
You know, where I think there's a lot of opportunity for brand collaboration, storytelling, you know, all of these, like, aspects that we see in skate and BMX and all these other cultures that is not, even in snowboard culture, you know, there's a lot of, because it is very influenced, similar to, like, skate culture.
Yeah.
You know, there's art, you know, with decks, you know, your snowboard deck has, like, really cool art on it and stuff like that. And
right.
Where, you know, I think there's, like, you know, I mean, shirts now are becoming more artistic. They're hiring, you know, there's collabs with artists and whatnot. And I just think, I don't know, it's really cool to see, and I hope that it continues to get better.
Yeah.
And Doug, I hope that you are going to be with Tenet to help push that.
I'd love to.
Yeah. Because I love the fact that you watch and appreciate skate videos.
Yeah.
You know, Barracks is one of my favorite.
Yeah.
Like they're do a kickflip series.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, my Instagram feed is mostly like skateboarding.
Yeah.
Like Thrasher's, like, that's like when there's like a Thrasher rough cut. It's like 17 minutes long. Mm-hmm. Watch that whole thing. I'm just like, skateboarding's so cool. The Halloween Hellbomb they just did.
Oh yeah.
Just like, holy shit. No, like, it's nuts. Where is the bike version of that? Did you see
the guy slide on the rail with just on his shoes?
Yeah, yeah. So gnarly.
That was insane.
Like, I mean, me and, you know, Dan Pearl, he works at, Hi Dan. We kind of have this like running joke. We're like, mountain biking's so lame. Like, like you watch videos like, I mean, BMX, look at BMX. There was a pink bike comment that was like, what was it? It said like, the sickest mountain bike edit is the lamest BMX edit, or like the lamest BMX edit is like the sickest mountain bike edit or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, who was it? There's someone who, they, you know, the 24 stair in Leon that, Ali Bulala tried to Ollie like years ago or whatever it was. And then Jaws did it. And then it was in a video. Some mountain biker did it on a full suspension. It was like, whoa. And then a BMXer did it.
Yeah. I think they like bar spun it or something.
Yeah. Yeah. No suspension. And like, oh, that's so cool. Yeah. Like, I mean, mountain biking is not lame. It's fun, but we put on our little costumes and we go for a ride. And
yeah.
We're all just dorks on bikes. They're adult.
We're all toys. Old skater and we're all old washed up skateboarder BMXers that eventually moved on to ride. Not all of us.
Yeah. But I was like, there's a lot of pretty cool younger folks who are riding bikes that didn't grow up doing.
I went to the Atmospheric River Rats.
Yeah.
Logan's video that he did with Eric.
Yeah.
And that video blew my mind.
I've watched it like, so many times.
This is the future. This is what mountain bike media should be.
Absolutely.
Just because it was like dad cam filmed, just like, it was like sort of like 50 to 1.
Yeah.
Just fucking around, having fun in the woods.
That's all it is.
Or in the streets or on Baker.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe don't do that.
But I was like, oh my God, that was so fun. But the thing that I took away from the most was, you know, going to the premiere at K2, there were so many people. That place was packed, and I knew hardly anyone.
So cool.
I was like, holy shit, there's an entire sub community of mountain bikers that are not the people that I normally know or ride with.
There's more of them out there.
A lot of them. And they're all young. They're all like in their 20s.
Yeah. It's super cool.
Yeah. You know, they're killing it. It's so fun.
It's cool to see. Yeah. That like the younger generation doing things like that and not taking it too seriously because like, I mean like, like racing and stuff. Sure. But like mountain biking, like don't take it too seriously. No. Like have fun, like ride your bike. We're just riding these expensive toys around, you know? Yeah. So it's cool to see that media representing that. It's just like all about just like goofing off. Like doesn't worry. It doesn't matter if the shot's blown or if it's fuzzy or if it's green or if it's out of focus. It's just like, it's funny. It's
Who cares what the color grading is? On
Nobody. I don't think there was probably one person who watched Atmospheric River Rats who was like, well, they're white mountains. I've watched that movie. It's like 45 minutes long. Yeah. I've watched the whole thing all the way through. Like,
I know. I had the, like... so the trailer, I have the Tenet trailer and I had it at, for Tune Up Festival. I put a TV in it and I have like a, you can plug a little like USB jump drive into the side of the TV and I put that movie on there and I just had it playing on loop.
Yeah.
I had it playing like, you know, a lot of the Tenet athlete content, whether it was Tenets or Transition or whoever, you know, like Sky gave me a bunch of videos and stuff that I threw up on it. But I also downloaded Atmospheric River Rats and put that on there as well.
Nice.
Just because I was like, oh my God, I just love this video.
Yeah.
It's super fun.
It's great.
And you can leave it, you know, I turned down the volume all the way down, just had music playing and the content just playing in the background, like is like perfect to you just play any music and it just melds well to it because it's just people fucking around having fun.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
But I mean, another thing that came out recently was that Ride or Die video. I don't know if you caught that.
I did.
That video was awesome just because it reminded me of a skate or BMX style video.
Exactly.
You know, it was like a bunch of clips kind of mashed together. There's no worry of like, oh, we need to wear the same clothes to make it look like the same day or some shit. You know, it was just like really good, fun footage mixed together, a big, long video.
Yeah.
I want to do that with Tenet. I want to do more of that in general.
Yeah.
I hope that more brands do stuff like that.
Right.
I think it would be really cool to see more like purpose made long form content.
Yeah. You know? I mean, like it's a bummer. Like, Instagram and I mean, this is beating a dead horse at this point, but like Instagram like killed the video part, whatever it was. But you know, it's like short form content now. And like, you know, I mean, we remember like seeing little teasers from someone's part that was going to come out next year. And you're just like, oh my God. And like, that's all you're waiting for. And then there's a movie, right? So it's like, it's cool to see that there are still people producing these like long form movies because they're still great.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, especially for people like us. Yeah. Like that's like what we grew up watching. So it's like, it's nice to see it's still around.
And I wish, you know, I have ideas. I'm not going to put them all out there in the world right now, but it would be the one thing I miss about growing up was, you know, seeing the trailer of a video, whatever, you know, and then knowing the date that it comes out, like, oh, that video is going to drop on this date.
Right.
And then, you know, they oftentimes didn't do a video premiere in my community or my town in Michigan, but they, you know, there would be a big video premiere. Maybe one of the local shops would do like a sub kind of premiere or something like that. But more so you'd be like, oh, I know the DVD is coming out, and you buy the DVD, mm-hmm. and you open it up, there's a little booklet inside,
yeah,
put the DVD in, you watch the video, and you get stoked, and then you go ride, and then you yeah. come back, and then you play your favorite part again, mm-hmm. and then, you know, there's the bonus features and exactly, all that stuff yeah. that's in the DVD, you know, that there's just so much, I don't know, the lack of tangible physical you know, piece to content is yeah. something I miss.
I know. It's yeah. great. It's just like, do other people miss it?
I don't know. I also think that a lot of people don't know. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's really interesting because I think, and I can't speak for Talis, but I think that, you know, like his generation, like the 19, 20-year-olds, mm-hmm. when they were coming up into biking or whatever, I think it was post DVDs, like maybe yeah. when they were really young, DVDs were around and they watched like kids movies and stuff on
yeah.
that. But like the physical tangible aspect of mountain biking was maybe not really a thing. Mm-hmm. You know, when he was on, I was talking about, you know, discovering BMX mm-hmm. and I was like, oh yeah. Like I found, my elementary school had a BMX Plus magazine.
Yeah.
And which is crazy. You know, I lived mm-hmm. in a tiny little farm town. It blows my mind that to this day. I'm like, why? Who in my elementary school was like, we should get this BMX Plus magazine yeah. and put it on the shelf in the elementary school library? yeah. You know?
Where did you grow up?
Delton, Michigan.
Michigan, wow.
Tiny okay. little, yeah. tiny little farm town. But anyways, the point I was trying to get at was, you know, I told Talis about how I was like, yeah, you know, I'd look at, and it's in the podcast. I don't know his reaction, but I was like, mm-hmm. he's like, you just looked at pictures and got stoked.
yeah.
Like in a magazine. I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Dude. You know, like right? that's how we, you know, that's how we absorbed content and yeah. like got inspired.
Right.
You know, was by images and movies, you know,
the Ryan Nyquist, poster I had on my wall came from a BMX Plus magazine. It was like, yeah, it's like a, you know, you get the
yeah.
one with the poster in it.
Yeah.
Just like
the centerfold
yeah.
is a folded up magazine. You pull it out on the brake line or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you unfold it. And you
slap it on the wall.
Slap it on the wall. Yeah. Some tacks or right. tape or whatever.
Yeah.
Or stickers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
you know, but the other portion, I forget where I was going with that, but, I think that, what I was going to say was short form and just like social media for me personally. And I caught myself thinking about this the other day. Mm-hmm. I was scrolling through and somebody did on a quarter pipe on a BMX bike. It was like an Instagram clip, like a quad tail whip. Mm-hmm. Four tail whips out of an air and a quarter pipe. Four tail whips caught it and landed back in the quarter pipe.
Yeah.
And I just scrolled right by it.
right? How many enders would that have been?
That would have broke my brain.
Yeah.
It's even wild. 10 years ago or 15 years ago.
Right.
I would have been like,
you just, yeah.
Oh my God. Like, what the right. fuck?
Yeah.
And now it's so common to see yeah. just fucking world's first and just not just the most insane shit
yeah.
on social media that I look at it for 30 seconds. I watch it and go, wow, that's crazy. That's
yeah.
That's a lot of tail whips. And then I scroll on.
Right. Exactly. Right. No style on that.
That kind of makes me sad a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. Like not that. And it, like, it feels like it discredits like
yeah.
a lot of these, like, I mean, sure, there's a lot of people doing it, but like to us mortal humans,
yeah.
like, fathom doing a yeah. quad tail whip on
and that would have head, that somebody would have went to battle for that and then they would have hidden sat on it for months and months and months
oh.
and put it at the end of their video part and
right.
then when that video premiered in a theater somewhere the whole fucking building would have erupted
yeah
everyone would be like whoa
right
throwing bottles everywhere and shit and everyone been going crazy
yeah
and then it would be a news article in the magazine you'd open it and be like banger of an ending, blah 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 blah, with like a sequence of it or something, and
yeah.
you'd be like, "What?" You know. Nowadays, it's just like,
"Yeah,
here today, gone tomorrow."
Well, there was actually a Nine Club episode that I was watching recently, and I forget whose part they were dissecting. It might have been, what was it? It was I forgot what part it was, but they were like talking about these clips that he'd put up on Instagram. They're like, "Oh man, he backside flipped like that, like." if he backside flipped that and put it on Instagram, imagine what he did on that. So it's like, there can still be some, I mean, maybe in that, that sense, but like, and maybe that's just the skate industry. Maybe that's different. Yeah. Like,
well, I mean, we just need to copy control C, control V right onto the mountain bike industry.
Yeah. And it's, but it's the other part of that too, is like to the average viewer, like who's the average viewer for these mountain bike videos? Like,
yeah, I mean,
like what are, like, these are the people who want to see, like they don't want to see like someone do this and then like smoke a joint. Like they want to see like a red shoot, like the slow, and they want to see every like knob on the tire as you like fully click.
So, and I mean,
like,
there is beauty behind all of that too. I'm absolutely not saying like, but there also is like, I think, I don't know, like that Paul Giovanni or Giovassi
Genovese
video that just came out, you know, like, and I guess they sat on that footage, you know, that's like, that's like similar stuff. Cause that was a part of that ride or die video.
Right.
And so like they sat on that footage for a while, but like, you know, I guess I don't really know. I can't really speak on those, but you know, like did he post that beforehand? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I don't know.
With our ski movie, like Mike and I's ski movie, we didn't share anything. We put out a trailer after year one that was like, here's what we went up to. We're going to do this more. Yeah. But we sat on a lot of stuff and like didn't even like put a teaser up just because we were like, I don't want to ruin it. Like, I don't want people to like, oh, I could see he did like a dub there. Yeah. Like, I don't need to see him land it. If they put it in the thing, they didn't know. Yeah. So we just didn't share anything.
Yeah.
So, and I actually really liked it. It was like, sometimes I was like, oh man, we got some good stuff today. I want to like be cool to post a clip, but that's just like, that was just me being kind of selfish, being like, it'd be cool to like get a clip up and like show what I, all the cool shit we did today. But like, it felt really good to just like hang on to stuff because it kind of was like, nostalgic in a way. And I was just like, kind of for that project, especially, it was just like, when we want to keep it as like ambiguous as possible. Like,
and I think, there's so many good ways to go about it because you can still promote and market that content without giving away the bangers, right? Or anything. Like you can just show the behind the scenes stuff, you know, the funny antics, the misses, the, I don't know, like the, like warm up tricks you know, before the bangers. You know, you can still kind of feed the beast, which is social media and whatnot, that content,
right?
You know, get people stoked and build hype around like what you're doing.
Right.
You know, like the ride or die video, which is really interesting, is they just dropped it.
Yeah.
Like it was just there.
Yeah.
Here's an hour and a half long video.
Yeah.
With all of our athletes.
Right.
You know, there was no like promoting it and hyping it or whatever, which I thought was interesting. You know?
Yeah.
It's a really interesting way to just, you know, put that out
there. Yeah. And it was like, and that's one thing that the bike industry doesn't really have is stuff like the ski industry, for example. You have like all these, like, I'll call them little crews from like all over the country or like all over the world, really. And like, they just go out and film and they put out a free movie at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And it's just like their crew and like everything they did. Sometimes it's fucking awesome. Sometimes it's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, but it's like we're all, you know, like Atmospheric River S is a perfect example. It's like, that's exactly what they did. It's just like, groups of friends go out, make a movie, put it out.
Yeah. Like, no, I love the concept of that too. Like where Logan was just like blanket invited the community.
Yeah, exactly.
He was like, I'm going to be filming on this trail. Come and get some clips.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
That is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
It gives everybody the opportunity too.
Yeah.
Like it makes people, that's another thing. It's like you have people who just feel like they won't ever be able to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I'll never be in a video, but like things like that allow people to have that opportunity or experience.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's really fun. And it's
super fun. There were 40 something people in that video. Yeah. I think
it doesn't matter your ability,
48 or I don't even know exactly how many, but there was like 40 something riders in that movie. And it like the stoke and the amp, like the amount of people that were just so excited about it at that premiere.
Yeah.
It showed,
right?
Like, you know, the fact that it was super inclusive. Like, if it was only like six riders and they all had each their own little part, it probably wouldn't have had the same turnout, you know? Like, I think it was such a big, impactful piece because he did like give everyone the opportunity, like they gave everyone the opportunity to be a part of that.
Yeah. So and cool. It's just, you know, word travels fast through, you know, like, oh yeah, it was so cool. We got out with this and like did some filming. Like, yeah anybody can come. You should come next time. Yeah. And it's like you said, it doesn't matter. Like,
and not
your
only
ability,
that,
it's just like,
go like have fun. People were pumped. Like you can see there's so many clips in that video of people like progressing
right.
on camera,
right.
You know, like do their first ever, you know,
yeah.
like riding the chief or yeah, whatever it
totally.
Is, you know, hitting a jump for the first time. Like,
right.
Like there's so many people that got to capture a monumental moment of mountain biking for themselves, you know, and I don't know. It was really, really awesome.
I think it's
I walked
great.
Away from that premiere and was just like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm inspired.
Well, and that was especially like, I mean, it was special to, you know, the Bellingham community because mm-hmm. it was shot within our community.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then you look at all the Pink Bike comments and like how well it was received, like all over the country. You're just like, wow, like that's
yeah.
really cool to see. Like
yeah.
people have no idea who these people are. Like,
yeah.
like whoever.
Yeah.
And they're just like, they're like, yes, like this is awesome.
No, it,
like,
it legitimately made me want to go ride my bike.
Right. That's it.
It made me feel like I was missing out.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my God, I'm not having as much fun.
I know.
People.
Or I was like, I want to be friends with them.
Like, yeah. Can I come
yeah,
out next time?
Yeah. Can I be in the thing? But like, yeah, Rampage. I watch Rampage. That doesn't make me
no.
really want to ride my bike.
No.
It makes me just like, I'm going to sit on the couch the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
Like that's so like out of my like realm of
yeah.
relatability,
yeah.
you know? So like. To see more media that is, like I said, yeah. relatable. It's
well,
it's really
Doug.
Cool.
Let's make that happen.
Let's do it.
I think we got to make that happen.
How much time has passed?
What time is it? 8 o'clock.
Eight o'clock.
I might have to wrap this up.
It's dinner time.
It is.
I already had dinner.
Oh, you did?
Second dinner. Oh. I had Sammy's Vegan. Go to Sammy's Vegan if you're in Bellingham.
Oh, shit. I didn't do any commercials. All right. Hold on. Do that one. You got to
okay.
pitch Sammy's Vegan.
Sammy's Vegan. They're actually, I think this is their last week for the winter. So maybe in the spring. Go check them out. They're really good.
If you're in Bellingham,
if you're
Washington.
In Bellingham, Washington.
And then this episode is also brought to you by Kölschen Pilsner. For the crisp, refreshing German-style lager brewed by Wesley Finger.
Thank you, Wesley.
And everybody else that's at Kölschen also brewing beer.
Thank you, everybody else at Kölschen also brewing beer.
They don't actually sponsor this podcast, but hopefully one day they will.
Maybe. Maybe.
Well, sponsor this podcast, Emily Malice.
Please. Please sponsor it.
All right. Well, Doug, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Super fun talking about everything.
Yeah.
Content creation.
Absolutely.
I feel like we've only hit the tip of the iceberg.
I know. If anybody has made it this far, thank you.
So my goal in the future is to start doing like a live episode of this.
Yeah.
You might be in the background, but
yeah.
the other the good thing is for the people watching, Doug is actually going to start producing this podcast. So I'm bringing him on. He's going to be manning the show behind the scenes. I hope that in the future, I really want to do a live show once a month. That's like a goal of mine.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be like live on YouTube,
yeah.
video, whatever podcast, and have like 3, 4, however many people we can fit in this little area and just do this, talk about
yeah.
what sucks about the mountain bike industry and what's awesome and what we can do better
yeah.
and just, I don't know, whatever life and stuff,
right.
you
yeah.
know?
Life, and love, the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah,
you know,
all of those things.
We can just skip over politics.
But I think it would be really fun, too. You know, like my hope is that when we do that, you know, we can have a comment thing and we can,
yeah.
like, people could chime in.
Yeah.
Know? Someone can be on there and say, like, mountain biking sucks.
Yeah. do a kickflip.
Quit yeah. mountain biking and ride a skateboard and
yeah.
do a kickflip.
Exactly.
So
not,
that's
it's not bad advice,
yeah.
actually, but also still ride bikes. Yeah. Just also do skateboarding.
Also, cool. I need you to teach me how to do a slappy.
Ooh, yeah. Do a little slappy clinic.
Yeah. We're past the slappy season, though, I think.
Slappy
right?
season's long gone.
Maybe I should build a slappy curb under the... Is that not a bad idea?
That's not a bad... You should build a mini ramp under
the... Well, there may or may not be plans for a mini ramp.
Well, then I'll be spending a lot more time here.
I don't know if I'm going to have a... I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll start a GoFundMe or something to build a mini ramp.
Yeah.
Everybody in our community that wants to skate it could pitch in.
We can build it
under this covered area. And then we'll see what happens.
Yeah. No bikes allowed. Just skateboards.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm definitely riding a bike on that. All right. Well, it's been fun chatting with you, Doug.
Thank you, Tyler.
Thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll catch you guys next week or 2 weeks from now. Adios.
Goodbye.